So this is the second and last part of a series on Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz. And the conceptual structure and some of the definitions we've already mentioned last week. Tonight I'd like to get more into some of the practicalities. And I'm going to use this 50-page summary of the laws of Trumas and Maestros here. The first table here tells you about the difference between Trumas and Maestros at the time of the Beis HaMikdash and Trumas and Maestros in our time. For example, with regard to Truma Gdola, back in the time of the Mikdash, they used to give approximately 2%, or let's say 1 over 40th for an Ayin Tova, 1 over 50th for an Ayin Beinonis, 1 over 60th for an Ayin Ra. All this applied during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Truma was delivered over to the Kohen. Today, the slightest amount. In other words, we go back to the Ikar Adin, which is Chita Achas, Poteres Es Hakri. What do we do with Truma Gedola today? We can't give it to a Kohen. The Kohen can't eat the Truma Gedola. He's Tamei. We can't eat the Truma Gedola. We're Zarim. So what we do is we wrap it up. So the Machmirim bury it. But our minig, based on the Chazon Ish, is to wrap it up into a plastic bag and throw it into the Rosh. That's as far as Truma Gedola. Maaser Rishon, again, back at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Maaser Rishon, one-tenth of his produce, was given to the Levi. Today, the Levi doesn't have adequate claim. He's only Meir Al Atzmo, meaning he doesn't have the Yuchsin that goes all the way back to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, every Levi today is called Hamotzi Mechaver L'Varaya. He doesn't have the financial proof to establish that I have to give him the maser. So therefore, what do I do with the maser? I'll set aside, I'll be mafrish a tenth of my produce, but I keep it for myself. Now in this case, as opposed to truma, maser is chulin, and therefore I can eat it myself. So in the process of hafrasha, we're going to talk about some of the details of how to set aside trumas and maseres. Good evening. We have to make a fundamental difference between truma and maaser. Truma has to be thrown in the garbage because I'm not allowed to eat it. It has kedushas truma. But my serishin is chulin. It doesn't have any kedusha to it. And therefore, I can keep it for myself. The levi can't claim it, as we said before. But then we get to another kind of truma, which is called trumas maaser. Meaning, after I set aside maaser, then the maaser itself needs hafrashas truma. And that truma, which is taken from maaser, also has sanctity, and as a result, since we cannot give it to the Kohen as we did at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and if you're following me in the table, you'll see that once again, like Truma Gedola, we wrap it up into a nylon bag, and then we put it into the rosh.
Truma Maaser, you wrap up and you throw it out.
That's as far as Truma Gedola and Truma Maaser is concerned. As far as Maaser Rishon is concerned, you can keep it for yourself.
So you can take Maaser Rishon and then on the Maaser Rishon you take Truma Maaser?
Correct. And that we'll get into in just a minute. That's going to be the next page that you have.
Truma Maaser is
1%.
Okay, well, I'm going table by table in this very beautiful overview. So now let's talk about Maaser Sheni. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we separated Maaser Sheni on years 1, 2, 4, and 5, as opposed to 3 and 6, which were designated for Maaser Ani that replaced Maaser Sheni. We brought that tenth of our produce that remains after the Truma Gedola and after the Maaser Rishon. We gave 1/10 and we brought it to Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, we ate it b'kedusha u'b'tahara. And if we couldn't schlep the entire tenth of our produce, because Baruch Hashem, we have a large field, then we would be poda it. The Torah says, v'tzarta akesev yadecha, and you transfer the kedusha over to coins. That doesn't work for Truma, because Truma has a din of Hegdesh. Maaser Sheni has a din of an Iser Kodesh, but it doesn't have the same status as Hegdesh. And therefore, as opposed to Truma, which does not lend itself to Pidgin, Maaser Sheni lends itself to Pidgin. Okay? And we're going to talk a lot about Pidgin tonight if we get a chance. What do we do today? We don't take our tenth to Yerushalayim, or even if we have our tenth in Yerushalayim, what do we do with the Maaser Sheni? We have to transfer it over to a Pruta. That's called redemption or Pidyon Maaser Sheni. On years 3 and 6, we substitute Maaser Sheni for Maaser Oni. Mm-hmm. Maaser Oni means a tenth that goes to the Oni. And even today, it should really go to the Oni. And we're going to see soon exactly how we circumvent the need to actually deliver to the Oni. But we do have to give the Oni something, at least something of value, that would be equivalent to the value of the Maaser Oni. This year might in fact be a Maaser Oni year, but as you'll see as we go along, we never assume anything for granted. We never take for granted that today is definitely Maaser Oni, today is definitely Maaser Sheni. We're not always sure. There are so many factors and so many elements that go into the equation which have to do with Rosh Hashanah, which we touched on last time. We'll pick it up again tonight. And therefore, the best way of being mafresh, which we're about to get to now, is to be mafresh both Truma, Maaser, Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Oni. Maaser Sheni and Maaser Oni. Okay. Now, we have to know the following. In most cases today, 99%, we have what's called Safek Tevel. Any produce that has not yet been set aside, whether it's for Truma or to Maaser, is called Tevel. And in our day, we have Safek Tevel. We're never exactly sure anything that we see in the marketplace, whether or not Hafrasha was done. And therefore, everything becomes Safek Tevel. Now, what are the implications of calling something Safek Tevel? Number one, there's no bracha. In other words, when we do that frash, we're going to leave out the bracha. That's called Safek Brachos LaHakel. And number two, Hamotzi Michavel Olav HaRaya. That even if I would be convinced that this is Maaser Oni, for example, and the Oni now comes to claim his Maaser, since the entire enterprise is a Safek, therefore I have right to say to him, you prove that this is Maaser Oni, you prove that you're a Levi, and the absence of that proof, I remain the owner of the Maaser Oni. Okay then? Now in the case of Maaser Rishon, the same logic will apply vis-a-vis the Levi. We're talking about Safek Tevel, and therefore, when the Levi comes to collect his due, his Maaser, I have right to say, well, Mitzada Safek, you have no right to force me to give you the Maaser. And therefore, I can keep it for myself. This is not relevant to Maaser Sheni, but it's relevant to both Maaser Rishon for the Levi and Maaser Oni for the Oni. Now, we said last time, and I want to reiterate this. We're going to do Hafrasha in two stages. Stage one is just preparatory. That's not Hafrasha. Stage one means we're going to put aside a certain amount of food. We'll see exactly what percentage from each category of food. And we're going to designate that food for the purpose of Hafrasha. But keep in mind, nothing has happened yet. Even though I now have, let's say, baskets full of amounts and percentages of each min of each type that are ready for Hafrasha, but I haven't yet done the Hafrasha. What that means is that until we recite the formula for Hafrasha, nothing has happened. Hafrash itself is the declaration that this is truma, this is masa. We're gonna locate within our produce different areas for different gifts. There'll be, for example, in the south, there'll be masa, there'll be truma, and then there'll be masa rishon, and there'll be masa a trumas masa, and then on the south side, we're gonna do Maaser Sheni, Maaser Oni. And once we make that declaration, which is on the second page that we photocopied for you, you have actually two pages there. One is in Hebrew and one is in English. And either one is fine. That declaration is itself what generates the Truma, what generates the Mas. So again,
Hafrasha is not only technical, it also includes the
Hafrasha is only to allow me, to make it easy for me to make that declaration, but the declaration itself is, you know that in Halacha, I don't want to get off on a tangent, we have something called Birur HaDover and Kiyum HaDover. Birur HaDover means just to clarify. And Kiyum HaDavar is when we create the status change. And that Kiyum HaDavar is the actual Amira of this is Maser, this is Truma, and so forth and so on. Okay.
And nowadays we're mafresh everything. Just what we do with it.
Well, we're gonna do in a few minutes, if you give me a few minutes, is we're gonna take everything and divide it up into different categories. Why? There are four different categories, we'll get to that in a few minutes. And each category has its own particular halachic regulations. Now, the first thing that we want to do in order to prepare for the hafrasha, again, this is what I call stage one, when we're putting things aside. And it's not yet the hafrasha, is to take a look at our produce, see what foods we have, and then divide it up into categories. So for example, let's say I have on my plate, I have cucumbers, I have apples, I have grapes. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to set aside from each one of these individual kinds of foods a little bit more than 1%. So for example, if you have a kilogram of cucumbers, approximately a quarter of one cucumber is considered a little bit more than 1%. So from my kilogram of cucumbers, I'm going to take one quarter of one cucumber and set it aside. So I have all my cucumbers here, and here I have one quarter of one cucumber, which is 1% plus meaning a little bit more mashu beyond, and we'll see exactly why we need that. And that, again, it's not yet, I've not yet made the Maisa Afrasha, meaning the Amira, but it's ready for doing so. Now, if let's say you're a guest at someone's table, and you suspect that maybe trumas and maisas were not taken, we'll see about various hashgachas a little bit later on, then what you do is, on your plate, set aside from each min 1/100, 1/100 plus. Okay then? That's stage number one. Now we're ready for the afrash itself. Okay? The afrash itself is going to be the recitation, after which we do the following. We take the truma and the truma's maser, put it in a bag, and throw it into the garbage, into the rubbish. We try to be as careful as we can, because after all, truma has kedusha to it, but it goes into the rubbish. The kohanim can't get it because they're as tummy as we are, and that's as far as truma. As far as maser is concerned, we're going to get to Maser Sheni in a minute because that has to be redeemed. But once you redeem Maser Sheni, and for sure Maser Rishon, it's not Kodesh, it's Chulin, and therefore you can keep it for yourself. You have to be Mafresh it to remove Tevel, but there's no Nesina itself. In the case of Maser Ani, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. That's a bit more sticky of an issue. Yeah, John?
I'm just going to confuse it. Maser Rishon and Maser Sheni, that's a tenth of the remaining amount. That's 10% of the remaining amount, or 9.9%.
Right, in other words, you've taken off the truma.
Right.
You're left with whatever you're left with, and now you take off 10% for Maser Rishon.
Right.
After you take your 10% off Maser Rishon, now you take truma from the Maser Rishon. That's called Truma's Maser. Whatever you're left with, you have to take off 10% for either Maser Sheni in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, or in years 3 and 6, a tenth for the Oni.
So then for Maser Rishon, you just put it aside, and then you take Maser Sheni.
Correct.
And you, of that 10%, you take off 1%.
Which 10%? Of the Maser Rishon?
The Maser Rishon.
Right.
You've got 10%.
You've got 10% of Maser Rishon.
Right.
And now at this point, you're ready for Trumas Masa.
Right.
So you're going to have to take an amount of Trumas Masa. Now, I'm going to try to show you a little kunz over here. That's what he has in the recitation, that you can take the Trumas Maser from the Maser itself.
Right.
Because again, the Maser is yours.
Right.
So if the Maser is yours, you just want to get the the truma out of the maaser in order to allow yourself to eat the truma, so you can take it from the truma, from the maaser itself. In other words, from the 10%, you're going to take truma and set it aside as truma.
If you've got 10 cucumbers, you take one cucumber as the maaser rishon,
right,
and you take 10% of the one cucumber. That's what you're doing. So you have to extract one cucumber out of the 10, and then you have to...
Right, but that's only at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Bizman HaZeh, we're going to be mafresh a much smaller amount for Trumas Maaser. So again, if you give me a few minutes, I'll take questions, but I'm just afraid that, if we jump ahead of ourselves. Okay, so now you have two pages in front of you, and that's going to be the recitation of Hafrasha. Would you like to do the Hebrew text or the English text? Which one do you prefer? Let's do both of them together. How about that? Okay, then. First of all, he has a bracha for Hafrasha, and then he has a second bracha for Pidyon. Pidyon is only applicable to Maaser Sheni. All those discussions about what the bracha has and its nusach are only relevant when you have vadai truma, meaning vadai tevel. And how do you get vadai tevel today? You got to be a farmer for that.
Right.
If you're a farmer, then you know for sure that it grew in Eretz Yisrael. You've completed the whole process in Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk about what that means. That's called Gmar Malach, another very important concept in Zrayim. And now it's Tevel Vadai. And in such a case, go ahead and make a bracha. Now, you and I might have said, well, let's make a separate bracha on Truma, a separate bracha on Maaser. But Chazal saw it otherwise. Because Chazal see the mitzvah as creating a transition between Tevel and Chun, between Iser and Heter, and that includes both Truma and Maaser, because Tevel is generated by both Truma and Maaser. So you could have made a bracha on Afrasha's Truma alone, but that wouldn't have accomplished your mitzvah. Your mitzvah is to be Matir, all the produce, and you could only do so because it's still Tevel and Maaser after you remove the Maaser. So therefore there's one joint bracha. Maybe Johnny, I could ask you to just close the door a little bit. And that includes both Trumas and Maaser. Okay, notice that the bracha has Trumas first and then Maaser second, because that's going to be the sequence of Hafrasha. And then we have another bracha, again in the case of Tevel Vadai, for Pidyon Maaser Sheni. Now Pidyon Maaser Sheni is going to require what's called a Keren and a Chomesh, which means that it's not enough to take off 1/10 for Maaser Sheni. We also have to add, in the case of Pidyon, another fifth. And you'll see that the Nusach of Hafrasha includes Pidyon as well, and therefore there's going to be an additional fifth. So it goes like this. First we start with Truma. From what are we taking Truma? You remember that we took off from that particular type of food 1/100th, 1/100, plus a little bit. As we said before, Truma Bizman HaZeh has no shear. So what we're going to do is we're going to designate that infinitesimal fraction that's beyond 1/100th as Truma. Okay then? So that's the beginning of this presentation, of this recitation. Hayoser me'echad mi'mea she'yesh kan. So it's the surplus beyond the 1/100. Harehu truma gedola. Okay? And that's going to be truma gedola. The reason we do this is because we need a round number. You know, it's very difficult to operate with small fractions, meaning if you take off that extra surplus above and beyond 1/100, then what you're left with is 1/100. And from 1/100, I can begin to calculate numbers of 10, as we'll soon see, in order to separate and designate by Maaser Rishon. So let's see how we get to Maaser Rishon. So far, we have Truma Gedola. Now, the Truma Gedola is going to be on the left side. Now, on the northern side, Betzad Sofon. Again, Alpi Din, I don't have to say Betzad Sofon. Once again, we're only doing this for expedience sake. We're going to separate the Tzafon for the Daron, because the Tzafon is going to end up where? In the rubbish can. Why? Because the Tzafon includes truma and trumas maser, which has kedusha to it. When we get to the southern section, that's already a different story. That's already maaser, which in the case of maaser sheni will be subject to redeeming, and after you redeem it, it's chulin. Or maaser ani in the third and sixth years, and that also is chulin, and therefore none of that is going to be put into the rubbish. So it's easy to make that separation. All right, now we're up to maaser rishon. What do we do with maaser rishon? Keep in mind that we started with echad mimea, with a little bit of surplus. The surplus was designated as truma gedola. Now we take the echad mimea, and that becomes 1/10 of our maaser. Why is it 1/10 of our maaser? Because maaser is 10% over 100, right? So I have to add 9/900 to the 1/100. Okay, so we add that 1/100 plus, and that's what we set aside. We're going to have to now add another 9/100, 9/100, to add it to the 1/100, and all that together is going to be 10/100 or maaser 1/10. Once I designate that, I have virtually removed all the Iser Tevel as far as my Sarishan is concerned. And as we said before, the lady has no claim, and therefore it's mine. So I've removed the Iser Tevel, and yet it's still mine. Now, Rabosa, you may have 1,001 questions to ask me, but I'm just wondering if maybe, what time is it? I'm just thinking, maybe we should find a period of time a little bit later on to ask our questions. Now, let's see if we can get it, Begadol. Okay. So now, we're reciting Maaser Rishon. Also, Echad Mimea Sheyesh Kan. You have now 1/100. Okay, because that wasn't separated as Truma. And the Od Tisha Chalokim Kimoso, and another 9/100. Again, we're Bitzad Safon, Shalateros, because again, we're about to, after we do Maaser Rishon, we're going to do Trumas Maaser, so we want to make sure that it all goes into the rubbish can. Harehu Maaser Rishon. Now, if you have a mixture of minim, which is very shayach, because you when you get the tevel, or as we said, a suffix tevel, it's already mixed in together. You know, you buy yourself, something that's made up of many different types of fruits, you know, whatever it is. So you add kol min al mino. That phrase means that I'm being mafresh for each min on its own, because technically you can't be mafresh from one min onto another min. Okay, we finished with Maaser Rishon. We added the 9/100 to the 1/100, and now we're ready for Trumas Maaser. Also, echad mimea sha'asisiv maaser asui trumas maaser. That very same 1/100, which became maaser, now becomes trumas maaser. Why? Because the trumas maaser has to be 1/10 of the maaser. The maaser was 10/100, so 1/100 would be 1/10 of 10/100. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, but the point is, and here's where the chiddush, is that even though that 1/100 has been designated as Maaser Rishon, nevertheless now it could become Trumas Maaser. Now you'll ask me the question, how can something be both Maaser Rishon and Trumas Maaser at the same time? And the answer is because since Maaser Rishon Bizman HaZeh, not Bizman HaMikdash, this is not a trick that I can pull off at the time of the Mikdash. But since Bizman HaZeh, the Levi has no claim to the Maaser, then I just have an obligation to make sure that that Truma that has to be removed to be Mater the Tevel will be removed. But I can remove it from the Maaser itself. And now everything fits into a very beautiful package. Why? Because that 1/100 is going to serve a double purpose. It's going to be, first of all, maser. Now it's mine, after I was mafresh the maser. And then it becomes trumas maser, because it's one-tenth of the maser. And now what I have in this thing that I separated is everything that has to go into the rubbish. Why does it have to go into the rubbish? Because it's both truma gedola and trumas maser, and it has kedusha. I'm not allowed to use it. I'm not allowed to, scrub something with it. I can't do anything with it. I have to put it in the rubbish. All this is b'tzad safon. So now that I know that the 1/100 plus, right, with that surplus, which was taken from the tzad safon, that I'm going to put into the rubbish. Now I'm ready for the tzad dharma. Now, I'm not sure if it's the Maaser Sheni year, 1, 2, 4, and 5, or it's the Maaser Ani year. So I'm going to say both. I'm going to say the following. Maaser Ani B'Dorom Shalaperos. Now we're on the southern side. Again, he's going to add called Min Al Mino, because every Min requires its own Afrasha. V'im Tzarech Maaser Sheni, Yehei Maaser Sheni B'Dorom. Now, I'm not sure why he wants to start with Maaser Ani, which is actually 1 out of 3 years in the 3-year cycle, as opposed to the other 2 years, which are Maaser Sheni. I would have written it the other way around. But in any event, what he's doing is he's separating both, if you noticed it, both Maaser Ani and Maaser Sheni. Okay, so what's going to happen? Well, if it's Maaser Sheni, then I should have to eat a B'Kedusha B'Tara in Yerushalayim, but that I can't do. So what I do is I do Pidyon. And that's called Mechuel Hu, it's redeemed, Hu V'Chomsho, because whenever you're redeeming Peres of Maaser Sheni, you have to add a Chomish 1/5, 20%. Al Pruta B'Matbea She'ichadeti L'Chilo Maaser Sheni. I have to designate a certain coin, we'll soon see what the value of that coin is, it's got to be a Shava Pruta. And how much is a Shava Pruta today? 1/40 grams of silver, which is, I don't know how much that is, maybe it's... Maybe it's 5 agarot, maybe it's 10 agarot, whatever it is. And I have to do a chilul in which the kedusha of the Maaser Sheni is now transferred over to this coin. By the way, if I can continuously use that coin, I'm always going to be poded on a Shava Pruta. Eventually, that Pruta will be absolutely saturated, if you follow what I mean. It will reach its maximum capacity of Maaser Sheni. And at that point, I have to do something with that coin. I don't know exactly what yet. And I have to replace it with another coin. This is why we have something called a pruta chamura, which means that somebody will be in charge of calculating. Now they have various institutes that take that you can join membership. You know, you pay a little fee and you become members. And you use, they allow you to use their pruta chamura. They know exactly how many times someone or anyone was mafresh, and they know exactly when to take that coin out of circulation and get another coin in order to use it for pidyon Maaser Sheni. And the same halacha applies to peros ravai. Ravai, which is the fruits of the fourth year, have the same status as we mentioned last time of Maaser Sheni, and they also need a pidyon. Fine. So now, Rabosa, you can go through the English if you like. I'm going to try to move ahead and show you a couple of pictures here of the Afrosh. See if we can somehow gather together and look at that, because it's very nice to see it in color. He's got all these apples here, okay? And he takes out one apple and he designates a certain fraction of the apple, which is the equivalent of 1/100 plus of the entire basket. Again, you'll see that he has something ready for another Afrasha, which is going to be for the Masrus, but now we're working on Truma Gedola, and then we'll get to Trumas, and then we'll get to Maaser Rishon, and then to Trumas Maaser, correct? So he writes the following. Reciting this statement establishes Truma Gedola on the Tzad Safon. Okay, the Truma Gedola is not established on all of what was put aside, but only on the part that's in excess of 1%. So you follow, here's 10, and here's 10. Okay? So if you push this back in, you've got 100 pieces, right? Now, what he set aside here was not only 1/100, but that also, that surplus. That extra surplus, now he sets aside Bitzad Safon as Truma Gadol. He still has now 1/100 here, which he is now going to establish as Maiser Rishon by adding this 1/100 with these 9/100, so that now this entire section here becomes Maiser Rishon. And that's what you see here in the second picture. Okay, this light part is Truma Gedola. We're finished with that. And now, this section, together with 9 equivalent sections, which is going to be 1/10, is the same as Maiser, will be designated as Maiser Rishon. So, he's got 1/10 of Maiser Rishon, which is this 1/100, together with 9/10, which altogether make 10/100, which is 1/10, and all this is on the northern side. So watching the apple here that he's being mafrish, he's already designated this little piece as what? As Truma Gedola. Now he's adding the rest of this together with 9 other hundredths to make it into Maiser Rishon. So you see he has 2 arrows over here. The reason why he has 2 arrows is because he wants to start with this 1/100 plus, and then he wants to add the other 9/100, which are back in the basket, and all this now becomes Maiser Rishon. But the only problem is, he has to now be Mafresh Truma from the Maiser Rishon. So that's going to be 3. And what's he going to do? He's going to take this very 1/100, which he just designated as what? As Maiser Rishon, right? Forget about the Truma for a minute. And he's going to convert this into Maiser Rishon, into Truma's Maiser. And why is that? Because Truma's Maiser means taking a Truma from the Maiser. He now has Truma's Maiser. So he says, reciting the statement establishes Truma's Maiser in the 1% that was placed separately, even though it was previously established as Maiser Rishon. That's what I spoke before about the killing 2 birds with one stone. So now he's got this apple, which constitutes the plus beyond 1/100, plus the 1/100, which is now Truma Smai. So he's going to take this entire apple and he's going to put it into a bag and put it into the trash. Do you follow? Those are the colored pictures. The colored pictures that I want to show.
The Maaser doesn't have Kedusha, so you just wrap it and you can eat it.
Then we get to the Maaser. Okay, with regard to Maaser Sheni, which we're now, or Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, we're doing on the southern side, right beside Darom, as you saw in the Nusach. And we don't know right now if it's a Maaser Sheni year, Maaser Ani year, so we'll do both. And again, what you have in the picture now, we're going to the southern side, we have these 10/100, which we're designating for Maaser, and then we have the redemption. Okay, we transfer the Kedusha onto a Madbeah. Okay. Then he has a whole discussion here, which is not relevant to us. It's a little bit of an advertisement for this special program, which is called Beit Midrash Gavoa LaHalacha B'Yashvut V'Chaklaut, and they have, you know, a membership, and if you join them, you can use their pruta for purposes of Hafroshas Trumas of Maisers.
Why'd you make a bracha on Pidyon Maaser Sheni if you're not sure whether it's Maaser Sheni?
No, only in Vadei Tevel. Again, any bracha will only be made in Vadei Tevel. That's why if you have that picture. Do you have that photocopy with the brachas on it?
Yes.
Those brachas are kemat not relevant to us, neither the first nor the second, unless you're a farmer.
If you're a farmer, you're not sure whether it's Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani yet.
I see what you're saying. You know, how could I make a bracha and call it Vadei Tevel if I don't know which year it is? You're right. I would have to be absolutely certain which year it belongs to. And now we're going to discuss how do we know which year it belongs to. So in order to answer that question, we have to first take all our produce and divide it into 4 categories. Now, I'm not going to use the English translation here because it's a little bit foreign to me. I'm going to use the Hebrew words. If you want, I can put it on the blackboard. Here are the four categories, not in the order that he presents them. The first category is Dagon, Dalid Gimel Nun, which includes the five species of grains. The second category is Yerokos, which means vegetables. The third category is Kitnios. He translates Kitnios as legumes. And the fourth category is Peros HaIlon, which he translates as fruit trees. And now, in all these four categories, there's going to be Tevel not only on the original, but even on what I call the conversion. What do I mean by the conversion? If you convert, let's say, grapes into grape juice, or you convert, let's say, olives into olive oil, or for example, you take the grains and you make it into a flour or a powder or whatever it is. All these goods in their different permutations are all considered tevel unless trumas and maisus were taken away from them. Okay. Now, how do we know what year it belongs to? Okay. So for this, we have to discuss what's called Rosh Hashanah, the new year. Now, Rosh Hashanah means two things. Number one, it's going to tell me whether it's Maaser Sheni year or Maaser Oni year. Number two, there's Aloch of Eim Afrishim Mishana Achas Al Chavrita, which means that every year has its own Tevel and needs its own Afrosh and Minei Ubei from that Tevel. You can't be Mafrish Tevel from one year's produce onto Tevel of a different year's produce. What determines which year it belongs to? That's called Rosh Hashanah. Oh, when is Rosh Hashanah? With regard to Dagon, Yerokos, and Kidneos, Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei. With regard to fruit trees, the fruits of trees, including the Esrog tree, which has its own dinim in Zroim, Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, we pass it like Basil, is Tu B'Shvat. Okay, fine. So if I have produce from last year, I can't use it to pat me up with Afrosha for this year's Tevel. But how do I know which year it belongs to? I know now when is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is either Aleph Tishrei, or in the exceptional case of Peres Elon, it's Tu B'Shvat. But how do I know which year it belongs to? So this is perhaps the most complicated issue in Zroim. But just to make life sort of easy for ourselves, and what I'm telling you is just, you know, limroch mi lamala, how should you say, it's just a fig leaf on top. We have a concept called havah shlish, which means it reached one third of its development. So if I can determine that any particular, let's say, a tvua, that means dagon, yerokos, or kidneys have reached one third of their growth in... Okay, one second. I mentioned Yerokos. Forget about Yerokos. Cross that out. That was a mistake. Let's talk about Tvua and Kitnios. If the Tvua and the Kitnios reached one third of its development before Aleph Tishrei, even though I did not harvest these grains or these legumes until way into the next year, they belong to the previous year. Why? Because it all depends upon Havah Shlish. The exception to that rule is Yerokos. The year of Yerokos depends upon Likita.
No,
Chanota. We'll get to Chanota in a second. I'm not yet up to Chanota, but again, we're talking about Havah Shlish, but that halacha, that category of Havah Shlish, is not relevant to Yerokos, because in Yerokos it all depends upon the moment that you harvest the Yerek. If you harvest it before Aleph Tishrei, it belongs to last year. If you harvest it after Aleph Tishrei, it belongs to next year. Now we get to fruit trees. In the case of fruit trees, there's a halacha called chanota, when the fruit begins to form on the tree. I don't know exactly when that is, don't ask me, but when it forms on the tree, that's when we determine the year of that fruit. It's going to be months until we actually can harvest the fruit, until the fruit ripens on the tree. But once it reaches this early stage of Chanota, it is frozen, it's engraved in stone to belong to that year. So if it reaches Chanota before Tu B'Shvat, it belongs to last year. If it reaches Tu B'Shvat for Chanota after Tu B'Shvat, it belongs to the new year. And the exception to the rule, because every rule in Zoraim has an exception, is the Esrog tree. And the Esrog tree, like the Irokos, depends upon Lakita. And the year of the Esrog is determined by the moment that you harvest.
Basically, fruit goes by Shas Chanota and vegetables by Shas Lakita.
Right. But again, when you say vegetables go by Shas Lakita, you're talking about Aleph Tishrei. When you talk about fruits that are determined by Chanota, you're talking about Tu B'Shvat. Okay? That's clear. Now, the second point that we have to make here is that although we said that these four categories of produce are all Chayv and Trumas of Maisris, once again, every rule has its exception. Where did this produce grow? Did it grow in Eretz Yisrael? That's for sure. If not, there's nothing to talk about, with the exception of challah. We'll talk about challah in a minute. If it grew in Eretz Yisrael, then we have to ask a different question. Who owned the plantation in which it grew? Now, this is where we have the discussion about what's called Yesh Kinyan Akum Lafkia. A guy's ownership will completely undermine the chiyuv of Truas and Maestras. But that itself is not simple either. Because there are two machayvim, there are two critical moments in time that generate the chiyuv Truas and Maestras. And it could be that each moment is sufficient, you don't need both together. One is the moment of gidul, of growth, and the other is the moment of gemar malach. What's Gemar Malacha? Gemar Malacha is way after the harvesting, I prepare it for the market, so to speak. Let's say I package it. One of the classical examples of Gemar Malacha is packaging. Another example of Gemar Malacha might be what's called Knisa Labayis, when I take it into the house. Now, if I as a Jew purchased produce from a guy, then as a general rule, I'm not chayav in Trumas and Maisers. But the exception is going to be if I bought it from the guy, either before Havah Shlish, let's say I bought his whole plantation, or more logically, if I bought it after harvesting, but before Gemar Malach. So basically it works like this. If the Jew either owned the field in which the fruits grew, when I say fruits, I mean the produce, or if the Jew himself purchased the produce that grew in a non-Jewish field, but he himself, the Jew, did the Gemar Malacha, in either of those two cases, we're going to be Mafresh, Trumas, and Maisers. However, now it becomes Suffolk. Because I don't have both elements here, it becomes a Suffolk. The one clear case where I'm definitely exempt from Trumas and Maisers is Hefker. If I am zochem in a hefker, that means the fruits grew wild out there in the wilderness, then I'm not chayev in trumas and maisers. But if on the other hand it was owned, and the Jew did the final stage, the processing, which is called gemar malacha, for example, in the cases of zeisim v'anovim, gemar malacha means, what's it called, pressing. You know, the gat. When I take it to the Beis Abad, to the Gat, you've seen the pictures of the old time, as soon as the oil comes out of the grapes, I'm sorry, as soon as the oil comes out of the olives, or the grape juice comes out of the grapes, at that moment that's Gemar Malacha. So it could be that these grapes and olives were grown in an Arab field, but I purchased them, and I pressed them. That's called Gemar Malach after Mafresh Trumas and Maisers. I would leave out a bracha in that case because it's complicated. Now, who is qualified to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisers? Number one, it's got to be a gadol who's a bar mitzvah. If he is less than 13, she is less than 12, then there's no shlichus. You cannot appoint them to be mafrish trumas and maisvis. If I'm a guest in someone's house, then l'chori you would say, well, it's not my fruit, and if I don't have rights to be mafrish, I was not designated by the owner to serve as his proxy. But the answer is that once he serves me, he's machne to me, it becomes mine. And therefore I could be mafrish, trumas, and maisvis. Okay. Now, trumas and maisvis cannot be separated as long as the produce is still attached to the ground. Mm-hmm. Even if it's completely grown and totally developed, it's ripe to the point that all you need is to harvest it. Nevertheless, it's still technically called mechuba lekarka, and none of the designations, none of the afroshos are meaningful.
If it's attached to the ground, but if it's not attached to the ground.
Well, if it's not attached to the ground, then we get into a lot of different details about at what point does the shame tevel emerge. But generally speaking, if the produce reached Havah Shlish, even if it was prematurely harvested, what was I about to say? If it reached Havah Shlish, just 1 second, and it was harvested, so it's no longer Mechuba Lekarka, then the Havah Shlish is enough to engender what's called a shame pri, which has nothing to do with fruit trees. Shame pri means, that's a generic term in Zerayim, and then hafrasha could be meaningful. Again, if you're interested in the Levisa part of this, you know, don't ask me now. You know, consult your Orthodox rabbi, because that becomes very complicated. But generally speaking, when we talk about hafrasha, shumas, and maisvis, you're looking at fruits and vegetables that are in front of you, they're on the table. You know, they've long been harvested and packaged, and you bought them in the store. So that discussion is not totally relevant for us on a practical level. Okay, but there was something that I wanted to mention. Oh yeah, challah. Now, our discussion is officially entitled Mitzvos HaTlius Baretz. Challah fits into that category, and therefore I allow myself the green light to speak to you about challah for 5 minutes. However, you should know that challah applies in chutzlots, but only midrabbanan. The rabbanan made a gzera takana to require hafrashas challah in chutzlots. Hafrashas challah in chutzlots goes by different rules and regulations. It's much easier than hafrashas challah in Eretz Yisrael. The real question about making challah is whether you make a bracha on hafrashah. So jot this down, if you don't know it already. If you have flour that weighs 2.25 kilogram, and then you add the water, you make a dough, you're mafrish challah. Okay, we'll talk about when to be mafrish challah. I'm sorry, start again. If you have 2.25 kilogram, you're mafrish challah with a bracha. That's what I meant to say. I left out the punchline. If, however, you have less than 2.25 kilogram, but more than 1.2 kilogram, then you're mafrish challah without a bracha.
More than 1.2.
More than 1.2 kilogram. So here's the way it goes. Less than, up to, but less than 1.2 kilogram, you're not chayv in challah at all. We're talking about the amount of flour. Number two, you've hit 1.2 kilogram, you have to be mafrish challah, but leave out the bracha. When do you make the bracha on a fresh challah? If the flour was 2.25 kilogram or more. Okay?
Reason being?
Okay, this has to do with the different shiurim and challah. When it's challah, when it's vadei challah, when it's safek challah, and so forth and so on. Okay. Now, I'm going to read to you the next paragraph because I don't understand it, but maybe you'll understand it. He says the following. How are we doing on the clock? Okay, we still have some minutes. He says, if someone has products that are made from a solid dough, but after you make the dough, you have no intention of baking it in the oven, he gives examples of noodles, which are not baked, but rather cooked he has another example of something that's fried, then he's chayv to be mafresh challah, but he leaves out the bracha even if the flour weighs more than 2.25 kilograms. Because some say, and we have to be choshesh for this, that you're only chayv and challah with a maisa tanur. Again, he doesn't spell this all out, but I think that's the, if I remember the sugya in challah. Okay. Now, how much do you separate for the Kohen? The answer is you're not separating anything for the Kohen. Because the Kohen can't eat challah. Challah has the same identical status as truma. And therefore, we go back to chita achas poter sakri, which means any quantity, no separate minimum quantity is required for hafreshes challah. My wife is a big tzaddikah, so she follows a certain minug, which is an ancient minug, to be mafrish a kezias worth from the dough. It's a very nice minug, and I think you should advocate following. Okay, good. That's as far as challah is concerned. I figured, why not shtuk that in? Now,
a
kezias is an olive's worth up from the dough. You know, so you separate from the dough a kezias worth, and then you burn it. Or if you don't want to burn it, then
it's less than 1.25. You mean?
No. What I meant to say is, you know, the two paragraphs here. Maybe I didn't make it clear to separate them. The first paragraph is, when am I chayv in afrasha with a bracha? When am I chayv in afrasha without a bracha? That depends on A, the size of the volume of the flour, and number two, on the fact that I'm anticipating afia in an oven. It's going to be baked. Now I'm asking a different question. Okay, I'm chayev and challah. Whether I'm chayev without a bracha or with a bracha. How much challah do I separate? And the answer is the minhag is to separate a kezias. If you ask me, it's a chumrah, but that's the minhag. You know, a certain minhagim that we took on to be super duper. Okay? Now, a point that has to be made. During the Shemitah year, there's no trumas and maisers. And therefore, don't even dream about a freshest trumas and maisers if it belongs to the Shemitah. Again, if you're talking about fruits, it only belongs to the Shemitah if it reached Chanata after Tu Bishvat. So you're already deep into the seventh year, and yet it's not Shvi'as, as far as fruits are concerned. You've got to wait almost a half a year until it becomes Shemitah. But then again, it's going to continue to be Shemitah for fruits deep into the eighth year until Tu Bishvat of the ninth year. In the case of the balance of produce, except for fruit trees, it all depends upon Aleph Tishrei. Okay. Now, if as I said before, the produce was grown in a sada of an akum, but the Jew purchased it and did the gemar malacha, then he's mafresh trumas and maisers, but without a bracha. Why? Because here we're not sure whether or not gvar malach of Yad Yisrael is enough. It could be that the gidul, the tefuah shel akum, is mafkir the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, because the bialus of the akum undermines and neutralizes the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you're not chayav trumas and maisers. We have to be mafkir for the shita that says ein kof biyad akum lafkir. Now my Rebbe was opposed to selling the land of Israel in the seventh year. And the reason for that is he was of the opinion that a guy, you can sell a guy a piece of land, but you can't sell him the entirety of Eretz Israel. But those who rely on Rav Kook and other Rabbonim, they have the minug of Heter Mechira, which means that you sold the entire land of Israel to the Goyim, and as a result, there's no Trumas and Maisris during the Shemitah year. Not only is there no Trumas and Maisris, but there's no Kedushas Truma. I'm sorry, there's no Kedushas Shvias as well. Basically, the agricultural law of Kedushas Shemitah means, assuming we didn't sell the land, or the sale is not valid, whatever it is, all the produce that grows during the Shemitah year has Kedusha. Which means you're not allowed to sell it, you're not allowed to convert it from a solid into a liquid, except for various exceptional cases where it was grown to be a liquid, and you have to treat it with kedusha. If you throw it out because it gets spoiled, you have to put it into a bag, and dropping it into the rubbish. Okay, Rabbos, I'm very happy that we basically made, you know, we covered 50 pages here of summary, at least the highlights of everything. What we didn't discuss yet is Meiser Ani, and also Pidyon Meiser Sheni. So let's see what we might be able to fit in the last 5 minutes that we have. Okay, then? First of all, let's just mention again, this requires a long discussion, that Hafrashas Trumas of Maisus requires Minamukov. Minamukov means that the original produce, which is Tevel, and the Hafrasha should be done contiguous, one near the other. In other words, you're not Mafresh here for something that's there. Again, that requires a lot more study, but that's called Minamukov. That's a category itself in terms of Hafrasha.
Chadash? Separate.
Chadash, you mean whether Chadash applies to Chutzar or not?
Excuse me, ignorance. Defining Chadash is anything that's grown after Tevel.
Right. The Pashtus is, before the Bach came along, about 4 centuries ago, Chadash is not a mitzvah tuliyah Beretz Yisrael, because the Torah says, B'chol moshosechem, which means that Chadash is also even Chutzar. The Bach came up with some piece of logic to say that we pass like one day in the Gemara, which all the Tanoim rejected, that Chadash is only in Eretz Yisrael.
Whereas Chadash is any produce grown after the
any produce that took root within and not beyond the third day after the Omer. Okay. Now what I wanted to talk to you about is Pidyon Meiser Sheni. Okay, in order to be Poda Meiser Sheni, number one, we need a coin that has commercial value and it's in use in that particular place and at that particular time. So you may have gone to the Far East and you have something called a bat and it's basically worthless. If you have 3,200 of them, it's worth $100. But in any event, a bat is not worth anything here in Eretz Yisrael and it's not called a pruta. So you need the local currency. How much is a pruta? You can't be mafrish, I'm sorry, you can't be poder, maiser sheni on less than a pruta. A pruta is 1 over 40 grams of pure raw silver. Okay? Which means that a gram of pure silver contains 40 prutot. He tells you that in the year 5765, which is approximately 20 years ago, a pruta was worth 4 agarot. Okay, today it's much more. In any event, you're allowed to be mafrish trumas of my. I'm sorry, I keep saying be mafrish. What I mean to say, you could be poder maiser sheni onto the value of one pruta. In other words, this coin may be worth a lot more than a pruta, and you're going to do the pidyon only on one pruta's worth of the coin, which means that you can use that same pruta over and over again. And he writes that if one uses a coin which contains a number of prutot, he need not redeem the maiser sheni onto all of the coin, but rather each time he's poder one pruta's worth from this coin. For example, let's say, what's the most valuable coin here in Israel? I don't even know.
10 shekel.
1 shekel, that's it?
Ten.
Oh, 10 shekel. Right, 10 shekel. So 10 shekel is a large number of prutos. And therefore you can be mafresh continuously multiple times on the same 10 shekel coin. But once the entire coin becomes full with sanctity, meaning that you would poda a shava pruta over and over again until you've exhausted the whole value of this 10 shekel coin, then what you need is you need to be poder that coin itself. And that, here's the chiddush here, you can redeem that coin onto the value of a pruta, even if it's a less valuable coin. So you have a 10 shekel coin that's absolutely saturated with maiser sheni, and you can be poder it onto a shekel. Okay, now the first coin, the 10 shekel coin, becomes chulin. And now the second coin, which we called it the 1 shekel coin, becomes kadosh b'kedushas ma'aseh sheni, the less valuable coin. Eventually, when it becomes saturated, it should be destroyed or thrown into the ocean. Okay, I think we're going to stop here, Rabosa. I think we covered most of what I want to discuss. I'll just say, mamish beregelachas, what's the deal with Meiser Oni? There's a lot more to talk about here, but just to give you a little bit of a practical guide, Meiser Oni, what we do with today, is instead of giving 10% to the Oni, what we do is we give the Oni a loan. And that loan, now you have to figure out who an Oni is. That's not easy. But let's say you determine that so-and-so is an Oni, you give him a loan. And anytime you eat the produce that was designated as Meiser Oni, that becomes kind of a payment to the loan. It's as if the Oni himself is paying you back the loan. Okay then? So that's just our regular office. Alright, I want to thank everyone for coming, and Yosef Imasha Kosov Khan, I mean, obviously we can't learn all of Zeroyim in 2 hours. Zeroyim is very complicated. But at least we got a little bit of a picture. If you take these tables, these photocopy tables with you, and keep it on your table. What do you say?
Can I do some more copies next door now?
You want to make some more copies, please do. And thank you all for coming.